All right, let's turn in the New Testament, 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. We'll start at verse 1. If you stand to your feet in reverence to the Word of God tonight. Second Timothy chapter number 2. The Bible says that, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." You may be seated tonight. That's all we'll read. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for another opportunity to be in the house of God. I thank you for the scripture that you've laid upon my heart, and I ask God that you'd help us tonight as we preach, and I ask, Lord, that you'd feed the people tonight with fresh manna. I ask, Lord, that you'd protect my family from the world and the wiles of the devil. Protect my grandbabies. Oh God, would you start working in their hearts and drawing them, convicting them. Let them start listening to the Word of God. Bless this church, Lord. Fill the empty pews with sinners, Lord God, that need of you. Help us to be ever faithful and mindful of your presence. We love you, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing in reverence to the Word of God, and thank you so much for praying with me and for me tonight. As you know, this is Paul writing to Timothy. Timothy was a young man, a young preacher man that Paul had kind of taken under his tutelage, and I've always wanted to do that. I've never had the opportunity to do that, but I've tried to help some young preachers along the way and give them some books and encourage them, and there's still some preachers I'll text message and say, "Preach, I'm praying for you." And I think that we are to help one another. Amen. And Paul here was a great help to Timothy. Timothy being the younger and Paul being the elder. And I want you to know, men that are older than me, I do look up to you. I don't disregard your age and your experience, but I cherish it. And I want you to understand that. And you ladies that are my elder, I want you to understand I look up to you, and I respect you, and I covet your prayers to always uplift you, Pastor. I need those things from you. But as we come to this, it's talking about being a good soldier. Throughout the Bible, it talks about Christians that were part of this army of God, that we're part of being a soldier. I had a little experience of that. We have a lot of men in here that had a lot of experience with that, about being a soldier. I want to preach tonight on this thought. I want to please Him. I want to please Him. I want to tell you, if you're going to be a good soldier for the Lord, you're going to have to do it to please Him. Not please man, not try to please your wife, not please your family, not do it for financial gain, not do it for public gain, or not to be famous. But I'm telling you what, to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ, you've got to understand that you love Him above all other things, and do everything that you're doing with one thought, is I'm going to do this to please Him. A lot of times in my life, the things I do and the things I say and the places I go, I always say, I wonder if this is pleasing in His eyes. Am I pleasing Him with what I'm doing in my life, my daily walk, the way I act? Am I pleasing the Lord? You should answer that yourself. Do you think your Christian walk is pleasing in the sight of God? Do you please the Lord with what you're doing for Him? If not, you're a terrible soldier. And I'm telling you what, You need to commit your life into being a better soldier for Him. I'm glad on this side of eternity, there's always second and third and fourth chances that you can start today, draw a line in the sand, and say from this day forth, I'm going to be a better soldier. I'm sorry, Lord, for what I've done in the past, but I can't change the past. But what I can do is look forward, and from now on, I'm going to march for you, Lord. I'm going to move up the ranks for you, Lord, because I want to please you. Amen. I'm thinking about them little babies back there. And I remember one time we was at a restaurant and we had our grandbabies there, and I was sitting in between, or Ellie was sitting between me and Chrissy. And there was a man that was intoxicated there, unfortunately. And he started looking at Ellie and looking at Ellie, and he turned around and started talking. And I got in a position to attack him. You say, that's silly. No, it's not. That's my grandbaby. But I pulled my chair out, and I thought, all right, if he goes for my granddaughter, I'm going to tackle him. So I pushed away from my plate, and I made it. Okay, I've got to get him. And before I could say anything, my wife turned around and said, sir, turn around and not say one more word. And I thought, that's my wife right there. Hallelujah. And he said, I'm sorry. He turned right around, but I had her back. If he had said anything, he had been in bad shape. Amen. But you think about how we took that one little thing, how we took that. How would you protect your children if we're in Gaza right now, or we're in Israel right now? How would you protect your children if some of those ragheads, those terrorists come in here for your youngest? What if they grabbed that little Mason there and started dragging her out the door, Jonathan? How would we act right now? What would we do? I'm telling you, I'd join in right with you. We'd fight, we'd bite, we'd poke eyes, ears, we'd do whatever it took to get them to get there. You say that's drastic. You need to understand that we're in that war right now, and the devil does it so subtle that we forget that we're in a war, but he's grabbing our youngins, trying to tie our churches down. He's taking preaching out of your ears, and you need to realize that we're in a battle and we're in a war. And you're still a soldier, and it's that drastic.
Amen.
It's that drastic, amen. But he does it so subtle. They always say if you put a frog in a water, I don't know why you do this, but you've heard that old story, you put a frog in water, and if you turn it up little bit by little bit, it'll stay in there until you boil it and die. But if you try to put a frog in boiling water, it'll jump right out. And that's what Christians are doing. They've gotten so used to homosexuality now that it's just custom. We've gotten so used to people not going to church and not caring about God. It's just customary. We've gotten so used to the filth of this world that don't offend us anymore. We'll watch it on TV and laugh with it, go along with it. I'm telling you, the temperature's up and up and up, and we don't realize that we're in a war for the very souls of our youngins, our neighbors, and we are to commit ourselves each and every day to get up out of our bed and say, Lord, I'm here. What's your commandment for me today? What do you want me to do? I want to be a good soldier for the Lord, don't you? And the Bible tells us right here how to be a good soldier. Look at verse 2. Verse 2, he says, I want you to remember the things that I said. To be a good soldier, you got to use your ears. You got to listen to the preaching of the Word of God. Amen. And I'm not talking about listening. You ever been to them restaurants and they'll say, that plate's hot, that plate's hot, that plate's hot, that plate's hot. And what do? You'll say, ooh, that's hot. And the waitress looks at you like, well, you know, I told you that. And we listen and hear things and hear this preaching. And even you might shake your head and say amen. But I'm talking about listening down your heart where you realize I need to take heed to what he's saying. Amen. I don't just need to listen to my ears. I need to listen with my heart. Amen. If you truly believe that I'm a God called preacher and the words I'm saying is coming from God, how should you take take his preaching. Hallelujah. Should you just say, well, I don't know about all that. Maybe he's stepping on toes, or Anthony missed it tonight, or I see it a different way. I'm telling you, he said, Timothy, I want you to tell him everything that I told you. I want you to listen so that you can give it to somebody else. Amen. I'm telling you, in this church, the one thing that I want you to do is take heed to the word of God that I'm preaching to you, and make sure that you understand that it is God talking to you, and don't take it lightly. Amen. Amen. Listen. Amen. I remember I got to Paris Island July 17th, 1991, and a man jumped on that bus and called me everything in the world and told me to get my feet on them yellow footprints. And I got my feet on the yellow footprints. And I was there in Beaufort, South Carolina. And I put my feet right there on them yellow footprints. I'm telling you what, you'll be judged on what you listen to preaching, and I'll be judged on what I preach. Amen. I'm telling you, let's get in line. Let's be a soldier. Amen. He's made me pastors now. Line up. Hallelujah. And listen to the word of God. And take heed to it. Amen. And if I tell you go right, go right. Amen. If I tell you to go left, go left. I wouldn't dare hurt you. I'm trying to help you. Amen. But people don't listen to the word of God because, you know why? They know everything. Amen. They know everything. And all they want to do is reason and question. I've heard this. I've been a member here 30 years. Whoop-de-doo. Amen. I can still learn something even from one of these little children. If Annabelle said something, God could give her a word. She could get down and pray for me. Hallelujah. And she could say, preacher, when I was praying, the Lord told me to tell you this. And you know what I do, Annabelle? I take your hand. I say, what did he say? What did he say? Hallelujah. I tell you, I've not arrived. I don't know everything. I want my brothers and sisters to pray with me and help me. I'm telling you, you got to listen and take it in. Can you drop your pride? Drop the arrogance. You don't know everything. Amen. Listen to the word of God. Listen. He said, Timothy, listen to what I say. You want to be a good soldier? It starts by listening. But not only when you listen, you got to pass it along. Amen. Now, my boy right there, he's turned to be an excellent carpenter. You know why he's an excellent carpenter? Because he had an excellent teacher.
Amen.
You ask him. Amen. And you know why I'm a good builder? Because my daddy taught me how to build. My daddy taught me how to run. I was running track when I was 14 years old. I remember I ran a bulldozer at 14 years old. And old boy said, can you run that? And what is a 14-year-old boy going to say? And nowadays they'd be like, oh, mercy, I don't think so. Where is my video game, Maggie? And what did I say? Yeah, boy, run that thing. I never turned it on. It took me a minute to figure out how to turn it on. Had to turn the key and push the button. I figured it. And I got on that thing. I said, boy, I can run this thing. And we was taking trees and putting them in a dump truck. He said, you can run that dump truck? I said, oh, yeah, I can run that dump truck. What else are you going to say? And I remember I got a big old load of trees on there. I was at M, and I was taking over to Trinity Baptist Church. And I had that big old load of dump trees and everything right there. And all of a sudden, I was hitting them gears. Boy, I mean, I was going down the road, and all of a sudden I hear wham, wham, wham. And I thought, what is that? What is that? I didn't pay no attention. I was a flying good, you know. I went over there and put the PTO in, dumped all the trees out, come back. And went on the way back, I noticed all the neighbors was out there, and their mailboxes were destroyed. I had a limb. And I was taking every mailbox out all the way down through there. Amen. Amen. And, but my daddy took that and taught me. And my daddy taught me this way. He threw me in the fire. Just do it, son. That's how I've taught my son. Just do it, son. He said, how you do that? Do it, amen. You get hurt, you'll figure out that you done it wrong, amen. Don't do it that way. You'll do it a better way. But he's saying, you learn this word of God. You learn what I taught you. And then pass it along. What good is it if you don't pass it along, amen? That's why we have Sunday school. That's why I'm trying to have these teachings once a month, amen. I'm trying to take 20-some years of 3 Bible colleges and studying and praying and pass a little bit. Little tidbits along and along and along. My son said, Daddy, teach me everything. I said, son, I've been building 30-some years. How am I going to teach you 30-some years in 30 minutes? Or 3 weeks? Or 4 weeks? How am I going to know that? I'm telling you, these kids come into this church, they're not going to know the dispensation, the eschatology. They're not going to know all that stuff. But we just give them one line and one line and one line and build and build and build and build and build and build. Pass it along to them. Amen. You want to be a good soldier? Starts with them ears. Starts with them ears. Hear the word of God. Now you ladies like to cook. I like to cook too. I enjoy cooking. And I'm a pretty good cook. And I can make about anything. And I remember I sat down at mama's table and she hated when I pick at it. She wanted me to just make him sounds, you know. Anna, my little grandbaby, she makes some sense. I love to feed her. Ellie's picky. She you about got to trick her to eat something. And Anna's like, you know, she's wanting it. And she'll make, We introduced her to cheese dip at the Mexican restaurant the other day. She's trying to put her fingers in it. I said, no, don't do that. I mean, I'm telling you, I love to preach to people when they sit on the end of their seats and they're going, But you preach to some people and they're, well, I don't know about that. That's a little salty. I don't know if that's any good and everything. You'll never receive it. You'll never get the goods of it, amen. And you'll never pass it along because you don't think it's worth passing along. To be a good soldier, I need help in this battle. Amen. That's why they have boot camp. Because they can train up people to help with the war. That's what I'm doing in here. I want these youngins. I want heaven. I want Dalton. I want you to be soldiers. Amen. Praying for me. So when you get in here and I get loose, you say, I helped him with that. I prayed that. I prayed that on him. Amen. And you stand up and start waving them hands. Woo! And you get to be a good soldier. Amen. I want to raise up soldiers. I don't want a bunch of wimps. Hallelujah. I want to be hardened soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the devil never takes a moment off. Be a soldier. Not only that, look at verse 3. He said, you got to use your ears. But he said, I want you to endure hardness. Oh, preacher. That first point was good, but I don't know about the enduring this hardness mess now. Endure hardness. He said, it may come. He didn't say that, did he? It might come. Just by chance, hardness or comes your way? No, he don't say that. You should expect it. Amen. Do you think it's going to go that good at Second Baptist Church and not have some things come our way? Oh, they're going to come. Amen. I told the boys out here the other night, I said, I don't care to fight, but I'd like to know where the punches are coming from. Amen. Amen. I want to know. I can put up some defenses. I want to know where stuff's coming. I'm telling you, we got to expect hardnesses in our life. We need to expect it. But he says when it does come, to endure. That means to embrace it and bring it on. Because I know that this hardness will make me a better soldier. If I run harder, if I lift weights, if I do those things, I'll be a better soldier. And I take this hardness and I endure through this. The next time it won't be that bad because I'm getting endurance. We need to endure when things come our way. You know what Christians want to do? Run. That preacher, he preached on blue shirts, and I had a blue shirt on. I'm just not going to go to church anymore. That was all your Christian walk was one thing. Took one little thing. One little thing that got you out of church. I wouldn't tell anybody that, would you? Oh, eat my casserole. That's going to get you out of church. I told the preacher to sing Victory in Jesus and they hadn't sung it yet. I'm just not going to go back to church anymore. That's the kind of soldier you're at. That's your soldier like that. I hope you're not beside me in the bush. Amen. I hope you're not beside me in the war. If one little thing comes your way, you're ready to run. He said, I'm telling you, you stand your ground and endure. And what I do, Miss Mary, is I brace myself. I get this back foot on and I embrace myself. But what this back foot on is, Sam, it's a rock. Amen. And it's a rock of ages that I'm standing on that I know that will hold against anything that comes my way. And I'm enduring this hardness, no matter what comes, my foot is planted on the rock, and I can't give away. I'm going to endure. Amen. I'm going to endure. I'm going to endure. Amen. Are you going to endure all this? You're going to run. You're going to run. I'm glad them boys over, when they hit D-Day in Normandy Beach, they didn't run. I'm glad they didn't run. I'm glad they didn't run over in Vietnam. The Korean War, I'm glad them boys stood. I know there's a different caliber, but that's what I want to raise up in here. Amen. I want you to stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. When they're making fun of you, when they're calling you this and calling you that, you get your foot braced back on that rock. He said he'd never let you down, and endure those things. You know what else I do? I embrace myself when I endure that hardness. But I take me a shield, and I put up right up me. I take the shield of faith. It talks about there in Ephesians. And I sit behind that shield of faith. And by faith, I know that there's nothing coming my way that God has not allowed. And I know that it's for His goodness, His glory, and my goodness, no matter what's coming my way. Even though I don't understand what's going on, I trust Him. I trust Him. So I take up that shield of faith and say, well, you think you got me, but you ain't got me. Endure. You want to be a good soldier? Learn to endure. Endure. I've seen so many people get out of church for some of the silliest reasons I've ever seen in my life. Well, that preacher said, yeah. He done that. Yeah. You're probably right. They made fun of me. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that happens a lot. Yeah. Yeah, I just didn't. Yeah, yeah. That happened. But get your eyes on Him. When's He let you down, Allison? I'll let you down. I'm human. Sam's a great man. I mean, I look up to Sam. I mean, I really do. I look up to him. If he tells me something, I take it. I'm like, yes, sir. I have that much faith in that man right there. But he'll let us down because he's human. Eddie, great man. I really think that. I like being around him. Amen. Hallelujah. Wayne, he's my elder. When he teaches, I listen. I believe those things. But he'll let us down. When's he let you down? That's what because I want to please him. I'm going to endure. I hope I can have the grace of God and he gives me strength to endure the next battle and the next battle and the next battle. I've got up to preach and people's done this, literally. I've got them to put their hands over their children's ear. I've got up to preach and they've walked out. I mean, you wouldn't believe what me and my wife, my precious wife right there has went through so much. So now I'm so protective of her. If somebody even comes near her, I'm a bulldog. I'm like, no. If you've got something to say, you say it to me. She's not a preacher. I'm a preacher. Amen. Because she has been stabbed so many times and crying at home and crying and crying and crying. We have endured, but it's made us hardened Christians, good soldiers. Thirdly, and I'm done tonight. Well, we need ears. We need to hear the word of God. We need to endure. Verse 4, what's it say? You can't entangle yourself. That word right there in the Greek actually means intertwined. Like, you know, girls, I call them piggy tails. The girls still call them piggy tails. Everybody heard of piggy tails? The braids, I call them piggy tails. I don't know if anybody ever heard that. Maybe it's an old country term. But we used to call them piggy tails. And girls would braid their hair, you know, two little piggy tails. That's what that said. To entangle yourself in the world. You remember Lot's wife? She had very angels of heaven come down there. Into Sodom and Gomorrah. And they said, you gotta leave. We're gonna get, is everything gonna get destroyed? And they kept taking their time, kept taking their time. I don't know, I guess they was collecting their pocketbooks. I don't know what they was doing. Trying to get all her shoes. Ain't no telling what the shoes are doing. And finally it says the angels had to actually drag him out of there. And they said, don't look back. But what's Lot's wife have to do? She seen more value there than she's seen in her future. And she said, oh, I'm going to miss those miles in Sodom. I'm going to miss that social media in Sodom. I don't see nothing like that out there. I'm going to miss those little clothes I used to wear and I'm missing little parties and all that. I'm going to miss all that. And she had more value for that than she did for her future. I'm telling you, you can't be a good soldier if you don't value this walk and you're entangling yourself in the affairs of this world and you're just coming into church just making it part of your life instead of being your life. We're all guilty. Entangling ourselves. Do you know why our youngins entangle themselves so much in the world? Because they don't see any value in this. Because mama and daddy is no different. They don't see any value in it. Why should I do that? Daddy don't do it. Why should I do that? Mama don't do it. I haven't seen any benefit from them going to church. They don't treat me no different. They don't act no different. They say they're saved. They don't act. They argue every Sunday morning, we're going to go to church. Why do you iron my shirt? It's a big argument, big fight. And they say, what? This ain't no fun. I'll find something fun. And the world's got all the big billboards and highlights and everything saying, come to us, come to us. And they say, this church, it stinks. I hate church. It's terrible. All they do is argue and sing the same old songs, and it's dead, and it's full of old people, and nobody wants to go. And I'm calling myself old there too. This bald head ain't my choice, amen. And that's the truth. You invite somebody to church nowadays and they think, why do I want to go to church for? I'm having a blast. I'm bass fishing every weekend. I'm a hiking every weekend. Take my kids out on picnics. Why? What's the value? But I'm telling you, Second Baptist, unless God opens their eyes and that spiritual man gets enlightened and they see the value of this and they see our walk, that we can't wait to come to church. We're just so excited about coming to church. I thought about church all day today. I was going to get off early. I was going to get off at noon. I told my son, I left the house at 5:30 this morning. I left the house at 5:30 this morning. I got over real early to the job site. I got all the tools out. I fixed some siding, and then I was going to have to, I got all that fixed, got it caulked in, and then we started forming up this side. Well, I did by myself. I was forming up this sidewalk, had my bobcat out there, got to working, and I was going to leave at noon. And the whole time I was like, I'm going to go and I'm going to study and I'm going to get on my faith. And then someone called and said, we want to build a house. Can you meet us at 2 o'clock? I said, yeah, I'll meet you at 2 o'clock. So I sit there and waited and waited and get working at 2 o'clock. I showed up. And I wanted to look at him and say, you got any money? Yeah. Are you for real? Because I'm missing my study time for this. My prayer time for this. They was a real nice couple and I was real nice to them. Shook her hand and showed them the house we was building and everything. But I was carrying my tool belt to the truck while they still talking to me. I was putting my tool belt in there. I was carrying my drill and I was putting it in the truck and then they would say, hey, you know, well, it's nice to meet you. Nice to meet you too. Nice to meet you too. But I gotta go. Why? Because I want to come to church. Amen. Called my wife. I said, honey, I'm on my way home. She's already out in the back. She said, well, I'll see you at church. I said, all right, I'm headed that way. I got here. I didn't get here but an hour early. That's late for me. I was only here an hour early and I got in there and the first thing I wanted to do is just start eating that word of God. I don't want to get so entangled. Now, I'm going to stop right here and I want to explain something. You got to work. You got to make a living. That's not what I'm talking about. You got to go to Ingles if you can afford it. My wife, pray for us. I love my wife dearly. But she likes Publix. I don't like Publix. It's expensive, amen. But it's a real nice store, and everybody treats you real nice. I like Walmart. I'm a Wally World man myself. She don't much care for that. But you got to go to those places, amen. They sell beer at Ingles, but you still got to go there. You got to be in this world, but you don't have to be of this world. And that's the difference. That they've got to see a joy in our heart that only comes from the Lord. Daddy gets more happy at football games than he does at churches. Uh-oh. Do you see the problem? Daddy, boy, sure is committed to deer hunting. But boy, he don't go to church. There's the problem. Ain't nothing wrong with deer hunting. Kill him. I'll eat him. But putting it before God, there's something wrong with it. Entangling. Getting weaved in. And you know what happens? This young lady right here, she's, I think a world of her. Tell you what, I'm on your side. You ever want to fight? I'm on you. I got you back. She told her job, she said, I can't work because I need to go to church Sunday morning and Sunday night. Ain't my fire. That's all right, honey. No, you'll find something else. I told her, I said, you put God first, you'll find something even better. Amen. Amen. Right. Think about what she's doing. You know what she's doing? She's not entangling herself. Amen. She wants to put God first. She wants to be a soldier. And when she told me that, she don't know this. I just took it real aloof. I said, oh, okay, that's good. But in my heart, I was saying, that's a girl. That a girl. You don't know what I'm preaching tonight, but that's exactly what I'm preaching on tonight. Don't entangle yourself. If they don't let you out of church, say, I'm on. I'm out of here. Hallelujah. Because I got to get to the house of God because I'm a weak person and I need encouragement of the Word of God and preaching every day of my life to help me. Amen. Amen. I salute you, young lady. I salute you. You hang in there. I got you back. Amen. Hallelujah. Do you want me a good soldier? Why? I want to please Him.
Amen.
I want to please Him. That means that I can do something to please Him. Think about that. That I can please Him. I want to be a good soldier. I want to put my chest back in march. When He tells me to march, I want to be a good soldier. You want to be a good soldier? You want to be a good soldier? Or are you just going to sit there and complain about everything? We don't need none of that. I'm going to tell you a secret. We don't need any more opinions. We got enough. Amen. I just want some soldiers. Say, yes, sir. March, yes, sir. Yes, sir, Mark. Yes, I want some soldiers. Amen.